Our reading this morning is from John 12:1-8. And there'll be a Bible in the chair in front of you if you need one. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Amen.
So that's the scripture reading. Sometimes it helps us to reflect on a character. We don't really know what went through Mary's head. We can maybe imagine, which is what drama is about, isn't it? I'm going to watch a reflection. Mary's thoughts after the event.
My sister Martha asked me, "Now Mary, what exactly was the purpose of that little scene you caused right there in the middle of dinner?" And all I could say was, it was just something I could do. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. Meeting Jesus. I guess I just never thought he might be so personable. One who would come to our home and have dinner with our family, laugh at our jokes, tell a few of his own. Sitting with him made everything else seem less important. So that night, right before Passover, we wanted to honor him for everything he'd done in our family. Looking back on that night, we knew, knowing that the whole world was against him, there could have been so much more. We could have let him know that we were unified, that we were all for him. And that was a missed opportunity. Where was I? Oh. So that night, we had him over for dinner to honor him. How exactly do you thank someone for bringing your brother back to life? Well, our sister Martha was in the kitchen preparing this perfect meal for him. And then there was me. What could I do? I decided to give up one of my most precious possessions. Precious things given to Jesus never really seem wasted. And I knew as soon as I did it, it was obvious. Some people weren't pleased with my choice. It wasn't planned. It was spur of the moment. It leapt from my heart. I let down my hair in public, which you just don't do. And I wiped his feet with it. And then I poured out an expensive perfume jar of oil to honor him. The beautiful scent filled the whole room. Now, if I would have stayed paralyzed in fear over what my sister would think after she made this huge meal, or the anger of the onlookers, or what a disciple could say, I might never have worshipped him that way. And the beautiful scent, oh, it stayed for days and days. Sitting at his feet, none of their opinions really mattered. Jesus was pleased with me. And he stood up in my defense. So why did I do it? I guess it was all I had. And days later, Jesus would pour out everything he had for us. For me.
I've watched it before, but I still find it moving. Maybe you were moved too, and if we were moved, then that's a good thing, because we should be. Let's pray. Lord, in our thinking, in the speaking, in all that goes on within us, would you guide and open our ears, our hearts, our souls to you? Amen. All four of the gospel writers have an account of a woman anointing Jesus, either his head or his feet. Luke tells us about a sinful woman who wept over Jesus' feet as well as pouring perfume. In Luke's account, we're told that that took place in Simon the Pharisee's house. Location unnamed, but that's very much Luke. There's a similarity between Matthew and Mark and John. They all mention Bethany as the place of the anointing. And they all say that it was not long before Jesus' death. Matthew and Mark tell us that the home belonged to Simon the leper. They don't name the woman. John is specific. John says that the woman was Mary, the sister of Martha, and sister also of the recently raised Lazarus. He tells us that Martha was the caterer. There's one in every family, isn't there? And it suggests that she was very much at home in the place. Was it her home? Was it a shared family home? We don't know. Was it in fact the home of Simon the leper, who no longer lived there, but his offspring did? We don't know. And that's the problem often, isn't it? We try and pull all these pieces together, but we just can't make them all fit with certainty. So maybe the thing is not to worry about that, but set it aside. What's clear is there seem to have been two occasions when Jesus was anointed by a woman. Maybe there were more. Two are recorded. The one that is about the sinful woman is quite different to the other accounts. But why did the women do it? Out of love? and out of thankfulness. That's the same. Now, I don't know if you know anything about nard. I confess, I know little. I had to read up about it, and I read that it smells a bit like gladioli. What does a gladioli gladioli smell like? We'll need to wait till the summer to find out. In its purest form, it's reddish in colour, and it's still used today. So let's explore a wee bit, not focusing on the gladioli, not focusing on the things that we can't sort out in our heads. Let's focus on what John tells us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at John's telling of Mary in Bethany anointing Jesus. Now, it seems to me that it's critical to John that Lazarus is at the dinner. It's in John's Gospel that we discover that Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus. And we know that story of Mary and Martha's distress. Jesus, why didn't you come sooner? My brother would have been saved if you hadn't delayed. Jesus has been given a hard time by these two sisters. And then we have Jesus standing at the tomb of Lazarus, weeping. We know that story, don't we? And then Jesus calling Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out in the grave clothes. And there's that, wow moment. Absolutely phenomenal. Of course that touched Mary and Martha. Deeply. Their dead brother had been raised to life. And here he is now, sitting, or lying, rather, at a table, sharing a meal held in Jesus' honour. Why are they wanting to honour Jesus for what he's done for this family? It's a way of saying thank you, isn't it? Thank you to a good friend. Thank you to the one that Mary and Martha called Lord. And the other invited guests, well, at least some of the disciples were there. Well, at least one of them was there. We're not told about the rest. It's only Judas who gets a mention. But we assume that there were others there too. And the guests were all there to celebrate with this happy family. And they were probably all well aware that there was a lot of talk going on round about their friend Jesus. Did they know that there were plots afoot? We don't know. But what we do know is that that house in Bethany was a safe place for Jesus. It was a place he'd been many times before, a place where he felt comfortable, where he felt loved. And it was also a place where he had taught. He taught the women. He had taught Mary and Martha. And that was not part of Jewish tradition. Women were not taught. The men were. So Mary and Martha knew that they had a special place in Jesus' heart. He valued them enough that he was willing to teach them about the things of God. These two women were his faithful followers. We could use the word disciples because it just means learner. So while Martha was cooking this meal to honour Jesus, Mary took herself to Jesus' feet. She'd been at his feet before. She'd been at his feet on one occasion when her sister had got bothered, hot under the collar, that she was doing all the work and Mary was sitting, listening to the teacher. Jesus had been kind to Mary. Jesus said she'd done the right thing. He wanted Martha to listen too. So she'd seen those feet before. She'd sat at them. And now here were those feet extended from the long table, the low table. Everybody was gathered around. It was very easy for her to reach those feet. But half a litre of liquid, roughly a pint, it's quite a lot to pour, isn't it? Especially if it's a wee bit viscous, a wee bit sticky. It would have taken a wee while. How do you picture her? Do you picture her doing what I just did? Or was she like that? Seems to me far more likely that she was on her knees at the feet. What would Jesus do just a few days later? Be on his knees, washing his disciples' feet. But Mary wasn't washing feet. We assume that as this was a house where the guests were honoured and invited, that foot washing had happened when they arrived. No, this was different. This was an act of tenderness, not duty. This was an act of thankfulness, devotion. It was very intimate. And yet it was in full public view. This costly perfume, more than a year's wages, belonged to Mary, and we don't know how she afforded that. The quantity of it suggests that it was for burial rather than for dabbing on the pulse points. Mary chose to bring this jar from its place of safekeeping, to break it open, and to pour it on Jesus' feet. And then she did that other extravagant thing. She loosened her hair and wiped his feet. You can imagine it, can't you? She's poured the oil and she's still down at his feet and she just pulls the clasp out. Dishonouring herself, really. Because you only let your hair down for your husband. It's very moving, isn't it? What a waste of money, said Judas Iscariot. What a waste. Wandering it on Jesus. Now I know those are not the exact words, but that's the gist of what he said. What a contrast those words are to the beautiful act, the generous act that Mary performed for her Lord. She wasn't counting the cost. She was giving from a generous and thankful heart. And yes, she was being extravagant. Maybe she'd never be able to afford to replace this perfume. But she knew that she had blessed Jesus with her gift. She didn't do it for thanks. She didn't do it for recognition. She didn't do it to be recorded in Scripture. She did it out of love. And as I was thinking about what she had done, I was reminded of lyrics of a Matt Redman song. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend? to so loving a king. Saviour, what can be said and what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? My words couldn't tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Mary's extravagance stemmed from a love deep within her, a thankfulness deep within her, for all that Jesus had already done for her. Just through his life. It wasn't measured, it wasn't reasoned, it wasn't calculated. It was a spontaneous outpouring of love. And you know what? Judas was right. It was, in one way, wasteful. And it was, in one way, foolish. Even if we set aside the fact that John tells us that Judas had his hand in the pot, or hand in the till, or however you want to describe it, that money could have been used to help the poor. Because that's always an option, isn't it? Do we keep for ourselves? Or do we share? Do we store away? Do we give away? We do have a duty of care. We do have a responsibility how we use what we have, what we've been blessed with. And Jesus' teaching tells us that we have a responsibility to help those in need, as though we were doing it to him. But you know, sometimes an extravagant, generous act of love for Jesus, the world might say it's foolishness. A beautiful sculpture. A stained glass window. A banner. A party for the local community. Something non-essential, but beautiful, as an outpouring of love. Something that brings joy to the giver, because it honors Jesus. Jesus stood up for Mary. He defended her. He said, "This is preparation for my burial." He didn't need it, but he valued it. He knew she had done something beautiful for him. A few days later, I guess you know the story, Jesus would have been at Peter's feet. Peter said, "No, you're not washing my feet. You're not doing that loving, generous servant thing for me." Really, Peter? You've no part of me unless you let me do it. On a dark Friday, Jesus hanging on a cross, people looking, people wondering, maybe people saying, "What a waste of a life." And he poured it out for us. A and Jesus' actions on the cross far outweighed those of Mary's. So what does this say to you today, to me? I was reminded of Paul's words that we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. What does extreme generosity look like in our lives, in the life of this congregation? How can we show our love for Jesus, even in an extravagant way? If God has put something in your heart right now, even if the world or your family says it's foolish, go for it. The Son of God gave his life for us. The most extravagant generosity there is. Are we sometimes a wee bit too measured in our response? A wee bit too cautious? It's worth reflecting on.